Good morning. It's good to see everyone here this morning. I want to thank you all for being here. If you want to follow along with me this morning, we'll be in Luke chapter 15. Luke 15, and starting in verse 11, a little lengthy reading, but I'm going to read all this here. And he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to the father, 'Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me.' And he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country. And there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now, when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in the country, and he began to be in need. And he went and attached himself to one of the citizens of that country. And he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he was longing to fill his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating. And no one was giving anything to him. But when he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread? But I am dying here with hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men.' And he got up and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf. Kill it, and let us eat and be merry. And this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found.' And they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard the music and dancing, and he summoned one of the servants and began inquiring what these things might be. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has received him back safe and sound.' But he became angry and was not willing to go in, and his father came out and began entreating him. But he answered and said to his father, 'Look, for so many years I have been serving you, and I have never neglected a command of yours, and yet you have never given me a kid that I might be merry with my friends. But when the son of yours came, who has devoured your wealth with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him.' And he said to him, 'My child, you have always been with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to be merry and rejoice, for the brother of yours was dead and has begun to live, and was lost and has been found.'" As Christians, I believe most of us have read this or heard the story of this prodigal son. And so this morning, I just wanted to pull a few points from this. As we can see, we have this son that takes up his inheritance. He wants his half, and then he packs up and he leaves home, and he goes to another country. And in verse 13, he says he squandered his estate with loose living. And after that, he becomes in need, because there becomes a famine in that land. And at this point, he's in such need that he wants to eat what the swine have. He wants to be there with them. But if I want to look at verse 17 here, just in this very first part. But when he had come to his senses, the New King James Version says, came when he came to himself. I took the time and looked up what that phrase means today, according to Webster's Dictionary. It says, to think in a sensible or correct way, after being foolish or wrong. And I wanted to talk about that as our first point this morning. to come to your senses. When I think about that, the one word that comes to my mind is to understand. When you understand something, you kind of have that aha moment. I can, and we have these all in our lives and in every part of our lives. I can remember being in school and being in math class, and I was a math guru, and so going through algebra and trig and all those classes, understanding the equations and how to use them. And I can remember having that understanding in my mind and being able to use those and to solve these equations. And it made me feel so good that I understood how to do that. I don't know if I have that same understanding now, but then was a great feeling. I did some painting this past week using this industrial sprayer, and I've never used one before. I borrowed it from a friend of mine that had who has a business, and he says, "Here, just use this." And when you look at it, it's got all these hoses and of course electrical cords and buttons and knobs. And I don't know what I'm going to do with this thing. And so lo and behold, YouTube has a video on how to use that exact model. And after going through that and seeing that video, man, you should see the ceilings in my house. They are white, the whitest they've ever been, and I'm proud of that and being able to understand how to use that sprayer now and to move forward with those kinds of projects. But even in our Christian life, to have the understanding of a Christian, to understand what God's will is, to understand what He wills for us, what our instructions are to be with Him in heaven. I'm going to turn over to Psalms 119 here. If I can get, here we go. Psalms 119 and verse 33. "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall observe it to the end. Give me the understanding that I may observe thy law and keep it with all my heart. Make me walk in the path of thy commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to thy testimonies and not to dishonest gain. Turn away my eyes from looking at vanity and revive me in thy ways. Establish thy word to thy servant, as that which produces reverence for thee. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for thine ordinances are good. Behold, I long for thy precepts. Revive me through thy righteousness." And so, having that understanding, we can produce ourselves to be such a better Christian for the Lord and what His will is. Back to Luke 15, and let's go ahead and look at the second part of verse 17 here. And the son says here, "How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I am dying here with hunger? I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men,' and go." And he got up and came to his father." All right, stopping right there at the first part of verse 20, we can see that now that this son has understanding, he has come to his senses. What does he do with that? He gets up and he acts upon it. He leaves this place of hunger and he realizes that, hey, if I just go back to my father, I can apologize to him, and he may be upset with me, but I can ask to just be a servant. If I can just be a servant, I won't hunger. And so he gets up and he heads back home to his father. And so When we have the understanding as Christians to act upon what has been asked of us, we can do so much more. We understand the Word and His truths. We understand the Lord's will to spread the gospel, and so we can go forward and do those things as well. Let's keep going on verse 20 here. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, Quickly, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf, kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For the son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found, and they began to be merry. And then just skipping over to verse 32, we read, But we had to be merry and rejoice. For this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live and was lost and been found. And so we see, as we understand the Father's will, we come to Him. And we see this son here, he has this doubt in his mind. He just wants to be full. He doesn't want to be hungry anymore. But the Father sees him off. And he runs to him and is merry to see him, and is so excited that this son has returned, and has apologized to him. He gives him a robe and a ring and sandals, and he restores him as a son, not to be a servant. And so they slaughter the fatted calf, and they're married. If you would, if you just go back here to verse 7 of Luke 15, it reads, I tell you that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Go down to verse 10. In the same way, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And so, we can see that in our lives, as we have this understanding and that we act upon it, that even as this, you know, one person who has turned away from sin, look at all the joy that it creates. I can remember back years ago in my early teens at the end of all the lessons or the sermons for quite some time, how that I would stand up and we would be singing the invitation song, and how I knew in my mind that, man, I need to go be baptized. I need to go forward. And I did that for I don't know how many services. It might have been a year's worth of services. And it took somebody to just give me a little push. It didn't take much, because at that point I was on that knife edge. I was ready. But and I went forward. But I think of those times when the time was at hand for me to go forward, and I just didn't. And I was so blessed that nothing had happened to me, having that understanding that I wasn't, you know, hurt or killed, that I couldn't do that. And so I was able to make that decision and come forward. And so, and you think about the joy that the angels had that day for that one soul that comes forward, that repents of his sins and turns away from evil, to be baptized in Christ. One other point I'd like to make this morning. If you would turn, if you're following along, turn to Matthew 11. I had heard someone say some time ago that to understand the gospel, to understand the Bible, it takes years and years of study. To follow the Word of God does not. And the Lord here in chapter 11, Matthew 11, starting in verse 28, He says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my load is light." It's not difficult to become a Christian, to come forward, to ask for the forgiveness of your sins, to repent from those things, and even be baptized. Now, this lesson's got a little more invitation than we might expect for this this first service. But the invitation is always here for us to come forward to do those things, because there's our time on earth could be snuffed out at any point. There was a big air show this past weekend. I saw this yesterday. I was actually making plans to go down there. Huge World War II aviation person. I have flown on multiple bomber airplanes. And so I had intentions on going down there to do it again. And fortunately, there were no passengers on the B-17 that was hit and taken down yesterday. But the crew did perish in that. And so, just like that, those people's lives are over. And so, having this invitation set before us at all times, I commend that you might take heed of it. Because having the understanding to be a Christian and willing to act upon that, just think of all the joyful acts that will take place this morning. All the angels that will sing, and all the people here that will be happy for you. Thank you.